sometimes really big events happen in our life in such a low-key way that we don't grasp their full significance until it's all over. And the baptism of Jesus is portrayed by Luke in just this kind of a form. There's been a big mass baptism at the Jordan by John, and almost as an afterthought, Luke tosses in the fact that, oh, Jesus happened to be amongst those who got baptized. And later on, after it's all over, Jesus is at prayer when the Holy Spirit appears in a visible and very beautiful form. Well, there's lots could be said about this event, disclosure of the inner life of God, authorization and approval of Jesus' ministry, the start signal for it all. But there's one thing that Luke's really keen to get across to us, and that is that as Jesus begins his ministry, he's brimful of the Holy Spirit. But we've been hearing about plenty of the Holy Spirit in Luke so far. We're only up to chapter 3. For instance, John's mother was deeply influenced by the Holy Spirit and touched by him in conceiving and giving birth to John. And Zechariah, the father, who was so slow to get with the program, he also came to know the Holy Spirit. And Simeon and Anna, who recognized Jesus in the temple when he came as a baby for his original blessing ceremony, they were also guided by the Holy Spirit. So there it's been very strongly already. And the whole question of people having the Holy Spirit, since it's so clear that this is what you have to be about God's business, is a big issue right throughout the New Testament. For instance, in the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter turns up in Ephesus, discovers, my goodness, there's Christian converts here already. And his first question is, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they say, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. We've received the baptism of John. So Peter fills them in with the recent events that have been happening in with Jesus and in the early church. He then baptizes them all, lays hands on them, and they immediately begin to speak in tongues, which is a sign that the Holy Spirit really has come into their lives. Well, the Spirit is a kind of growing, developing presence in the pages of Scripture. It's an event when, for instance, Saul, who's been picked out as the first king of Israel, very reluctant starter, has a confirming sign that this is, in fact, he's the man. He meets a band of roving prophets, wandering prophets, and begins to ecstatically rave like them as a sign that he really is being marked out by God. And later on, it's the spirit of artistic inspiration, the artists and musicians who make the worship of God beautiful in the temple, they're inspired by the Spirit. But the Spirit's most powerfully there in the prophets of Israel as they try to stop the onward march to destruction of the people of Israel. And so it is that when the ministry of Jesus begins, the Holy Spirit is there in his life in a particularly an intense and focused way. And we can see four marks of the Spirit in the ministry of Jesus. First of all, this is the means by which he casts out demons and evil spirits. It's the means by which he masters the forces of nature. It's the means by which he heals diseased and decaying bodies. It's the means by which he recognizes and discerns what's going on in the hearts and minds of people. He can read them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, crucial issue is the earthly life of Jesus comes to an end. Clearly, he's got to transmit the Holy Spirit to his followers. And the authors of the New Testament mark it in different ways. John thinks it happens both at the death of Jesus, when he breathes out the Spirit on his mother and the beloved disciple, and then does the same thing to the inner group in the upper room as they meet afterwards, where Jesus kind of appears through the walls. And Luke feels that it happens on the day of Pentecost. So now the Spirit is generally available to all who will receive it and do something about it, let it into their lives. Well, those of us who have been baptized, that was a really good start, because that's one of the things baptism does, is to confer the Holy Spirit. But people can still neutralize the influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Both Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin were baptized, and they did a magnificent job of doing that. And coming regularly to worship, uniting ourselves to God, that's another way of pressing the start signal for the Holy Spirit. And the question of did you receive the Holy Spirit is a good one for all of us to ask as to whether it's alive and active in our lives. And I'm going to suggest this morning, finally, that there are three kind of marker points that we might like to assess as to whether the Holy Spirit's alive and active in our lives. First of all, it's a Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of moral regeneration. So if the Spirit's at work in our lives, then our motives will be purified. Our ethical antennae will become more sharp and attuned. And our sense of ethical behaviour will be lifting and improving all the time. And you know, it talks in one of the Pauline epistles about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, generosity, self-control, tolerance. Very useful checklist for us in terms of our ethical behaviour. Could we say that is true about our behaviour generally? And then secondly, I was saying how powerfully the Holy Spirit influenced the prophets. Well, is that a portion of that prophetic spirit there with us? Are we prepared to swim against the tide of our increasingly pagan culture? Are we filled with hot indignation when we hear God's ways and God's name belittled? And do we have a persuasive and useful word to speak to that situation? Do we have a kind of God's eye view of what's happening beneath the surface of the pattern of events in the life of our city and our society so that we can see what's really going on there and be prepared to do something about it? And then finally, do we have a sense of being gripped by the story of Jesus, wanting to get to know what his life and death and resurrection was all about? And are we increasingly, as part of our deep interest in his life, using that as the measure of the kind of person we're growing into? And that means we rely on the Holy Spirit, if he's the measure and the mark of what a human being is, to kind of lead out our way of playing at being Jesus Christ. You know, it's no good, that terrible phrase, what would Jesus do? It kind of suggests a painting by numbers approach to being a Christian. I think the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of freshness and originality about doing all that. Being a Christian should never be a dreary and boring business. And the Holy Spirit's about bringing life and animation to the way in which we play at being Jesus Christ. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.